Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second episode of The Link Up. You already know, it's your boy Ron the Don, and here I got a special guest tonight. This isn't just any guest. This is that guy. This is Mr. All In, Mr. Allen Xander.
What's going on, man? I like the introduction, man.
Oh, yeah, of course. Family. Oh, snap. Live studio audience, you already know.
What's going on, Ron? Right.
Everything good. You good, man? Family good?
Yeah, I'm straight. Everybody good. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just been chilling out the way. Training.
Definitely, definitely, man. We definitely appreciate you sliding through on the podcast. You know, anytime we want to talk good wrestling, man, got to bring in a professional. You know, what you been up to lately, man? I know you've been busy.
Really just been, you know, training at Wildcat Sports. You know, just been training for wrestling. Just, you know, other than that, just be trying to stay out the way, really.
Okay. I see y'all had an event down there, Cinco de Mayo. I saw the man in the ring singing Drake. What is he singing? Sexy Red or something?
Oh yeah, he talking about Edward King. Yeah, he's like the ring announcer / DJ there. But they're pretty much doing a little show for, you know, Cinco de Mayo. Everybody that went out there, it was a great turnout. We were surprised that everybody was showing up, and you know, and they turned up for sure.
That's what's up. And if you listen to this podcast and if you ain't tuned in, tune in with Wildcat Sports. You know, tune in to see Mr. All In, Mr. Allen Xander. Definitely, definitely. All right, man. We going to get into it here. This past week of wrestling, been crazy. Of course, we had Backlash this past weekend. The crowd in France was amazing, you know. It's crazy. I knew some people, they were saying that the people in France was annoying. I don't think so. But, man, what you think?
Annoying? I would say they was lit. Like, man, look, all I'm saying is the overseas crowds are giving the States crowds a run for their money. Like, it's bad. Like, I'm telling you, like, if they keep this up, the overseas crowds, they're going to have backlash, like, overseas, like, for years and years to come.
Yeah, and they definitely need to. You know what's crazy about that? It's funny that you say that. This past weekend, you know, during right after Backlash, it was announced that WrestleMania 41 is going to be live at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, April 19th and April 20th, 2025, you know. For me, you know, Las Vegas, definitely love it, especially if they go down to the Sphere. I feel like, you know, that'd be dope. Like, I heard there's rumors that potentially Raw and SmackDown might be in the Sphere. That'd be something new and crazy. But I'm not going to lie, man. I was a little disappointed. I was hoping that they was bringing it to London, man. You know, as an American, I got an appreciation for the foreign crowds and they love for wrestling, man. What you think, man?
Yeah, I was a little shocked too, man. But that doesn't also mean that it ain't going to happen. You still got WrestleMania 42, WrestleMania 43, WrestleMania 44. They going to London. At least, I want to bet at least one of those that I just mentioned, they going to pop out there for sure. But, I mean, Vegas is not a bad spot. I mean, I've never been to Vegas before. But I hear it's really good over there, though.
Yeah, I expected to be lit. I'm not going to lie. Like, you know, I saw Triple H come out. You know, they playing Travis Scott, Playboy Cardi, Fiend. I was getting a little hype, you know. I might have to take a trip down to the Las Vegas shoot. Who knows? If the pod get big enough, we might have to do a little live appearance, you know.
See, speaking man, to this is my thing. I would have to see what, like, my wrestling schedule will be around that time, because who knows when, you know, Wildcat going to be throwing shows. But I'm pretty sure, because it's really, they have a really known trend for not throwing shows, like, during, like, WrestleMania, pretty much for those reasons, because they know people would travel. Even some of the coaches there, they travel to WrestleMania, you know, to pop out, you know, with their family and friends and, you know, enjoy a good show.
Yeah, most definitely. I definitely got to catch some Wildcat sports shows in person myself, you know.
Hey, all you got to do is book a flight out here to New Orleans, man, and just show out.
Definitely. One day we definitely got to make it happen. All right. Speaking of Backlash, man, any matches, anything catch your eye?
So I didn't see the Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles match live, but I had to go back and see it again. This was actually before the Cinco de Mayo show. Me and my boy, Brandon, aka Antonio Rossi, he was over there. You know, we was over there, you know, watching it. And I honestly say that was a really good match. That crowd during that match, crazy. Like, I'd never seen a crowd like that for a match. Like, I honestly don't think no, like, there was no heel or no baby face, like, watching that match. They was cheering everybody.
I agree. Like, even though, SmackDown, AJ Styles tried to play it off, you know, but everybody, you know, they was cheering for him, they was cheering for Cody. Nah, definitely a good match. For me, the show started off with a banger, man. Like, I thought we was going to get a normal, you know, tag team match, you know, slow tag team match, Solo and Tama Tonga versus Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. But that thing started off hot, turned into a street fight. To me, that was the match of the night. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, see, and the thing that I've known about, like, you know, since being a part of Wildcat and stuff and starting to, like, get on the ins and outs of wrestling, like, they want to start off, like, a lot of places want to start off, like, you know, first matches to get everybody on the edge of their seats, you know, to keep, to set the tone of the whole show. And that match right there set the tone, exactly. Like, it set the tone for the whole show.
Definitely, like, I was not expecting it. I'm talking about they went in the crowd. It was all over the arena, the announce table. You know, crazy spot after spots. Like, I don't know. Hey, my wife be telling me I'm crazy, but, you know, my dream was always to get put through a stack of tables, bro. Anybody that get to do that, you know, they lucky. And WWE, if y'all seeing this, y'all need just, you know, a random security guy one night to go through a table. I'm your boy. You know, come hit me up.
Who knows? Maybe you might see me in a security shirt or something, and I'm getting put through a table by Randy Orton. You never know, bro. You never know. Bro,
hey, if he do you like he did Speed at Mania, yeah.
Oh, I'm going through it. Because he's Speed, he a little smaller. You know what I mean? Speed, he a little smaller. But see me? Yeah, yeah, I'm probably going through that table.
Yeah. All right. So I don't know. Speaking of the Bloodline, you know, obviously at the end of that match, we got the debut of Tama Tonga's brother, Tonga Loa, you know, formerly known as Camacho, which was like news to me. You know, I did not know that he was Camacho, but
I didn't either.
You know, now that he's in the Bloodline, man, it's looking like. It's looking like they can't be beat, man. And also, Friday Night SmackDown, we saw Paul Heyman basically say he hasn't spoken to Roman since Mania, since he lost the Undisputed Championship to Cody Rhodes. So, you know, I was just wondering, like, what do you think about that? Who do you think is actually running the Bloodline right now? Is it Solo? Is it Roman? Is it the Final Boss? You know. Who do you think, man?
See, I could see this going both ways. Like, you see, at first in the beginning, I thought that The Rock was all in it, which I still think he is. But then again, I really do, like, if you go back to, like old SmackDowns, I think it was during, like, I think it was the post-show after, what's that pay-per-view? Money in the Bank. Yeah. It was after Roman got pinned. And, like, he put the lay over Jay. And then, like, he started attacking Jay, and then the lay was on the ground. And Solo was looking at it. So, I mean, you got to look at it from a long-term storytelling aspect. I think, you know, Solo is just like, it's just like, all right, Roman's not here. I'm finna just step up. But then again, The Rock could be, you know, he could be behind that, making all the calls and stuff. Because when Paul Heyman had that phone in his hand, he was like, call Roman Reigns. He took the phone and threw it. So he probably just don't. Yeah. He's like, nope, don't get Roman involved.
You know, that's personally what I think. I'm like very excited to see how this gonna play out. Like, I'm kinda, you know, after Solo and Tama Tonga took out Jimmy, it's clear to see like he basically kicked out. Roman slowly being kicked out. And then like Jay on Monday Night Raw doing his thing. Yeet, by the way. But but you already know. But you know, I'm interested to see. I feel like eventually the OG bloodline gonna have to come back together. But it's interesting to see, like, you know, will we get The Rock versus Roman at WrestleMania 41?
See, that's the plan. Like that, I'm pretty sure that's the plan. Cause like they was probably gonna go with that for this year's Mania, for this past Mania, but you know, Cody Rhodes hype was just too high. So they just like, you know what, we gotta change these plans. Or that might have been the plan all along. We never know. We never know. It may, because the way it was structured, it can go both ways. You could probably be like, okay, they maybe switched it up, or they like, you know what, this is probably a plan all along, but that's something that we'll never know.
Yeah, me, honestly, I still don't know the truth, but all I do know is if Cody didn't finish that story, bro, there was no coming back from that.
Oh, man, it's just kind of like I kind of already knew, because at the end of the day, you can't have, like, your biggest babyface in the company lose twice. Like, lose twice in the same event, like, against the same opponent. It just wouldn't make sense. Like, because if you think about it, if Roman Reigns was to beat Cody Rhodes, and I keep trying to tell people this all the time, where does he go from here? What you got, Randy Orton, CM Punk? Like, these are people that are, like, injured at the moment, or they're doing other storylines right now. But then again, the Randy Orton thing could have made sense, but he was in a program with Logan Paul at the time. Yeah. So he was kind of putting Bloodline on the back burner a little bit. So, I mean, hey, but I always thought it was the plan all along.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy for Cody, man. I just hope he has a good run. I'm interested to see who's next for him after beating AJ. Could be a rematch. Because I'm looking at the SmackDown roster. It's not really too many, like, higher ranking heels at the moment. So unless somebody, like, turn, like, I really don't see where he could go next. He could probably go back to Shinsuke Nakamura. I think Shinsuke got drafted over to SmackDown, if I'm not mistaken. So he could probably go
that route. See, that is more like, see, and that's another thing that I like about Cody Rhodes being champion. Because, like, no matter who you put against him, it's a believable scenario that he can lose the title.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like how it was with the Roman Reigns, excuse me. Where you pretty much put him up against somebody and you kind of already know, well, he not dropping the title. The only person that was kind of like, the only people really that was kind of like believable was like, oh man, he really might lose, was Drew at Castle of the Castle.
Definitely.
Jey Uso at SummerSlam.
Nah.
Jey Uso at SummerSlam. Because you kind of had to understand, like, he had the momentum. And like I said, with the believable thing with him losing two times against the same opponent, but then again, they kind of just did that. But then again, he kind of did go against Roman Reigns more than twice. That was like, yeah. But you get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. But I mean, it's interesting.
Yeah.
The change topic. Speaking of, like, you know, champions. This past weekend we crowned new WWE Women's Tag Team Champions in the team of Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair, the new super team. A-team.
Yeah.
Crazy. Like.
And that's the thing, like, too. So, and what's funny about that is, you called that when Jade Cargill made her debut at the Royal Rumble.
Definitely.
I was over here saying, oh, they going to try to build a feud with Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill at WrestleMania. They going to have that match at WrestleMania. You like, nope, they finna try to put them in the program to win the tag titles in the future. I'm like, nah, I don't believe that. Now look where we at. Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill, freaking women's tag champs.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The reason I say this, though, there's two reasons I thought that. Because I felt like, okay, you want to go into the new era and you want Jay to be an even bigger star. So this is why you do this, right?
Right.
You team her with Bianca because down the road, as I've told you, you know, before this podcast, you know, started, I think Bianca is going to turn eventually. you know, I feel like she got this little thing going on with Bailey and like her not being able to forgive. I feel like the heel Bianca from the NXT day is going to show out. And I feel like what better way for Jade to have a big match in a few years? I mean, not in a few years, in a few months at WrestleMania 41 than like her versus Bianca.
That'd be now see what you're saying that. I didn't believe in the Bianca Belair heel turn coming up, but the stars are aligning now with it. Because you do have the Bailey situation. Mm-hmm. And you do have, you know, her being on like on some hate stuff. You know what I mean? Like she just, you know, she just can't like forgive, you know. So I can kind of see that happening now. But before you couldn't talk like, nah, bro, Bianca is not going heel. Because look at her. She's like, she's too over to be a heel right now. But then again, things can change in WWE, bro, just like how we've already seen in the past.
Definitely. And this is my logic, right? Obviously, you know, you got Jade coming in the spotlight. Jade can basically do almost everything Bianca can do. So, like, Bianca may feel like, well, you know, she taking my shine. I should take her out now. But another reason I felt like there was going to be a tag team, though, was, well, two more reasons, sorry. One, like, I feel like Jade still kind of need a little time to, like, get used to the WWE system, and I feel like teaming her up with Bianca would help her, for sure. And, like, the next one was coming into this new era that Triple H is building, you know, he definitely want to upgrade the tag team division, and there's no better way than, you know, to use them. So that's ultimately why I always thought, you know, that they was going to team up first and do that.
Yeah, and that's also a good idea on their part, too, because, like, and this also ties back into me knowing a little bit more about the ins and outs of wrestling and stuff because I'm training. So, like, in tag teams, like, pretty much how tag teams are structured, when you put somebody with somebody else, that pretty much just, you know, you have that chance to, like, hide their weaknesses in a sense. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. You can hide someone's weaknesses, you know, by just, you know, simply putting them in a tag team. And if somebody in your tag team can cut a promo and you can't, throw them in a tag team. Somebody can do something better than you, throw them in a tag team. I just see that in my logic, you know, like maybe that's like, that just makes the most sense.
Definitely, and I agree. I feel like, and I don't think nothing wrong with Jade. I don't think like she's like super far behind, but I do think it's definitely a different animal coming from like AEW and then going into WWE, you know. Like, I've noticed that she hasn't said that she's that bitch, at least on like TV. So,
yeah,
you know, she got to get used to like, dialing it back a little bit for right now, you know, until they probably go on Netflix or
yeah. But she on SmackDown though, ain't it?
Well, yeah, she got drafted, but you know, they the only champions that can go back and forth.
Oh, that's right. So yeah. You think they finna hold the championships all the way then to 2025?
Unless I don't think they're gonna be, I don't know. They could probably feud for SummerSlam, but I don't know. I just feel like you should draw it out. Like,
true. You can also drag it out into like a 3-match series. Like you said, SummerSlam. You could do a match at SummerSlam. You know, you can even do the match when they're both tag team champions. That's something that we haven't seen in a long time, but it's been done before. Hell, was it what Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero?
Yeah.
Back in the day, they was tag champions and they still had a match against each other on a pay-per-view.
Eddie Guerrero? Or was it Batista?
It was one of them. Batista, I don't know. I'll have to go back and look.
Or no, maybe it was Batista and Eddie Guerrero. I don't know.
It was one of them. I'm not sure. It was one of them. But it's been done before. So, I mean, you can even do that. Have them both be babyface, you know, going in the match. They both have a little. Even you could put on like a 10-minute banger with them. Have them, you know, do a couple good spots.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a second match. And I think in that match, one of them can possibly plant the seeds of turning heel, which is probably Bianca Belair, most likely. Yeah. And then that third match be at Mania. Or you could just drag it out into one match and be at Mania.
Nah, that would be nice. Like, definitely. I I think whatever they give us, whatever kind of program, just based off like the two athletes and personalities they are, it's going to be a banger either way.
Yeah.
But speaking of tag teams potentially coming to an end, have you been tuned in with everything involving the Judgment Day right now?
Oh. Yeah, that's crazy, man. I could see Damian Priest just leaving altogether and just being his own man. Because, I mean, he's got everything. I mean, he's got the world title. He really don't need them.
Yeah.
If you think about it. And then he's also planting the seeds like he doesn't need help. Like, he's pretty much telling him he don't need help, yet they still come out to help him. Dom is out the picture. He's over here messing with Liv Morgan now. So that's going to be a whole other program in itself. With Rhea Ripley, because I see it like this. When Rhea Ripley, when it's time for her to come back, Liv Morgan's going to have that championship. She's going to have that championship. Like, it's inevitable. I'm pretty sure right now, Becky Lynch is going to have a good little run, and she's going to drop that title to Liv. And then when Rhea Ripley come back, Rhea Ripley getting that title back, and probably getting Dom back too.
Yeah. Nah, like, I was gonna get to that later, but since you brought it up, man, let's get into it. First, hey. I want to say, this man Dominic Mysterio is like, he got the luckiest booking in the world, bro. to go from his custody being in a ladder match, determining a ladder match, to him just being Rey Mysterio's son, and then winning the tag team championships. To him being with Rhea Ripley, not this man with Liv Morgan, bro.
I'm telling you, man. That's like, if you really think about it, man, like, he really has put in the work, though. Like, when he did go, like, when he actually did get signed to WWE, like, this is before, you know, the whole custody storyline and stuff like that. But he's been putting in that work, so I will say he does deserve these little booking decisions that they're giving him. He really deserves these.
Definitely.
But yeah. He definitely getting lucky with some of these though. With these, he get to be in programs with Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan.
I'm saying, bro. I'm saying, he definitely turned right now. But yeah. You know, I'm definitely a Dominic fan, so you know, I see a world heavyweight championship in his future. Maybe Mr. Money in the Bank this year. Who knows? But continuing with the Judgment Day. I think it's like on Monday Night Raw, we saw like Damian Priest try to like cover up his anger in a way, saying like it's okay, you know, being cool with them again. But I don't know. I just feel like eventually it's going to come down to him and Finn Balor for that World Heavyweight Championship.
So you think it's SummerSlam, huh?
I'm thinking SummerSlam.
Think I had time for that long? Wait, then again, SummerSlam is like, what, in August, huh?
August. They got the whole summer.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can see Damian having a good little run, but I ain't gonna lie, though. If that's gonna be the case, I need Finn Balor to have that strap. He deserves it, man. For all the jobs he's been doing, because he's been doing some jobs lately. So, for all the jobs he needs to get that belt, bro.
I love Finn, bro. I love Finn. But the next champion, bro, like, I'm kind of riding with Drew right now.
Yeah?
Like.
Wait, so when's, because I know they're doing another Clash of the Castle.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be before or after SummerSlam?
Let me look it up. Let me see.
Yeah, because that's going to play a big role in that, because if it's before SummerSlam, then yeah, Drew McIntyre is probably going to get that next title.
Well, in that case, no, because Clash at the Castle is June 15th, so that's going to be before SummerSlam.
That's before SummerSlam. Oh, yeah, so that's the case. Yeah, I can see it. But yeah, Drew McIntyre, jeez. He's going rampant right now over CM Punk. He can't catch a break.
I'm telling you. Him that and CM Punk. Break. Bro, that's going to feed families, bro.
And what's like, crazy is, everybody thought his first feud back was going to be Seth Rollins and CM Punk. that's not the case, surprisingly. I'm surprised about that, I ain't gonna lie. Because I really thought that was gonna be the case too. But they really doing something with this Drew McIntyre and CM Punk feud right now. And and what's funny is they ain't even wrestled one match.
I know. That's
and it's
that's
like cooking right now.
That's the crazy part, and it sucks. WWE is in a point where they're missing a lot of people due to like injury. You know, Punk out, Drew McIntyre out for right now. You know, with the elbow thing, Rhea's out, Seth is out, Roman taking a break. So you know, as they're resetting, they're missing a lot of like you know key players.
You know, a lot of big names right there.
I know, like, you just coming off an injury not that long ago. How hard is it, you know, to sit up, be sidelined when you're seeing, you know, the business move on?
What are you talking about? Me being injured?
Yeah, just, like, from a wrestling point of view.
Yeah. Yeah, so when I was training, I was sliding in the ring. And when I slid in the ring, I literally bumped my knee on the wood of the ring, literally. Damn. Clashed Jeez. On it. And then I tried to instantly get up, my leg just buckled and I fell in the ring and I called it. And after that, I was out for about a good 2 weeks. But fortunately enough, because of our training style, I really didn't miss much. Okay. I was still showing up and still training. Like I was still bumping, I was still, you know, rolling. But anything as far as where I had to run, I wasn't doing it, but I didn't miss much.
Yeah, I mean, and that's good, you know. I'm glad it wasn't nothing major for you. Definitely got a bright future ahead of you.
Yeah, I'm just hoping and praying I don't get nothing bad, man. You know, I'm just gonna take it. You know, that's why I'm training to wrestle safe, to be safe in the ring, be safe for my opponent. And I just want to be safe for everybody and be easy to work with. That right there is my goal. Like I don't really care about winning or losing, because from what I was taught and from what I know, like it's not really when you lose, it's kind of like how you do it and like how you get over even when you lose. Like if you can do that, then you good.
Definitely respect, man. And you know, segueing from that into the next thing, did you have the chance of seeing that Ricochet versus Ilya Dragunov match?
I did not see it. I saw highlights, but man, oh man, I keep missing Dragunov matches. I need to stop missing his matches, yo.
Bruh, he can go.
Because that dude is a GOAT, yo. Like, he's really good at what he does. Like, I hear nothing but good stuff about him. Like, I really think he really has not had a bad match since signing with WWE.
No. And then, like, the fact that he has already got 5 stars, like, you know, that match him and Gunther, back then Walter had in NXT UK.
Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy work. But
oh, yeah. I actually saw that one. Mm-hmm. Woo! I ain't gonna lie, I got to go back and watch it a little bit after this. I ain't gonna lie. Yeah. Cause that match right there was something, yo.
Nah, that was one of the best matches in the past and like in recent memory.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm kinda interested because they are both in the King of the Ring tournament right now on the Raw side of the bracket. So I wonder if it's leading up to that. The only thing that kinda stand in the way, obviously, Jey Uso beat Finn Balor, so this upcoming Monday, he's going to be facing Ilya Dragunov in round 2 of the King of the Ring final, while Gunther is going to be facing the winner of Rey Mysterio and Kofi Kingston, which I think is going to be Kofi for story purposes. But.
Ah, see, that's the... And I hear that they're doing that at a house show.
Yeah.
That would have been a good TV match. I ain't even gonna lie. Like you could have started off the night with that one.
Definitely.
And that would have been hype. But I'm pretty sure they probably got a lot of stuff planned. That's probably why they're not doing that. Because I'm pretty sure they're doing some of the women's matches like that too at house shows. Uh-huh. I think Shayna Baszler's qualifying match is gonna be at a house show.
Yeah, with Zelina Vega.
Yep.
I think the reason I think that probably is, like, I watch all the Raw. The matches was a little bit long, I think they're definitely getting a chance to like showcase. Like, these not just gonna be, you know, go out there and just have any old match. Like, they actually like having like, you know, pay per view style matches where they're leaving it all out there. So that's one thing I'm liking the tournament so far.
And look, them house shows right now, they finna be getting a lot of love with them matches. That's all I gotta say. They finna be getting a lot of love, because if they gonna go out there and perform like you say they are with pay per view style, oh yeah, they finna leave it all. They finna go all in. No pun intended.
I like it. All right. Well, we want to get into a new segment, you know, that's going to be reoccurring on this show. It's called Top 5. And on the Top 5 segment, every week, we're going to be naming our top 5 superstars. You know, this could be, you know, your favorite male WWE superstar, your favorite woman's WWE superstar, your favorite tag team. You put them in the top 5.
So for this segment, so tag teams is one pick, right?
Right.
Okay. All right. Cool.
So, you know, being that you the guest, we're going to allow you to go first, give your top 5, see if it lines up with mine.
All right.
All you.
All right. So, am I going from 5 to 1 or 1 to 5? Which one am I doing?
Whatever way you want to do it, man. All
right. So, I'm going to go from 5 to 1. All right. So, my number 5 right now, not gonna lie, this one's coming from NXT. I gotta go with my girl, Kalani Jordan. She out here doing her thing, bruh. That's all I gotta say. She out here doing her thing. She literally came from MSG as a gymnast, and now she out here doing things in wrestling, WWE. Like, hey, kudos to her, man.
I'm not gonna lie, I was not expecting that one.
Yeah. And then, so number 4, let's see, I gotta go with Dragunov. And this is because he's only this low, because I really haven't been seeing any of his matches, but I've only been hearing good things about him. So that makes me want to go see his matches.
Definitely.
So we gotta put him at number 4. Number 3, I gotta go with Drew McIntyre. Because this man here, if it's on USA Network, or if it's on TikTok or social media, this man is a troll, bro. He is just trolling CM Punk, and he just does not know when to keep CM Punk's name out of his mouth.
Yeah. One of my favorite people to follow on Twitter.
Huh?
I said one of my favorite people to follow on Twitter.
I'm telling you, which brings me to my number 2, CM Punk. I really don't really have to explain much about him, because I mean, all you gotta do is just go on Monday Night Raw and tap in and see what he's doing, because that man there, like, he, in my opinion, and a lot of people will probably disagree with this opinion, but he doesn't really cut bad promos. So I don't see why people say he do, but to me, he don't cut bad promos.
Yeah.
And number 1, you're going to like this one. Number 1 for this week, Yeet Jey Uso. Gotta go with Jey Uso, bro. Hey, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
Yo, that dude there, bro, he had France looking like a concert, bro.
I'm telling you.
Like, that thing, bro, I was like, man, I wanted to be involved in that. What's crazy is, when I went to Raw, like, when they came out here to New Orleans, like, about a couple months ago, they had Jey Uso there, but he never came out. Man, I was so hot. I'm like, man, I wanted to be doing the dang, the little yeet wave, and I wanted to do that, bro. But so he was on a little Jumbotron. I was like, dang, I should have brought him out.
That's so crazy. I'm supposed to be going to Raw in August, so I hope that's not the case for me.
Yeah, hopefully you can partake in the Yeet Wave, bro.
Definitely. I need to get the glasses, the shirt, and everything. I'm trying to
I'm trying to get the cut back, bro. I had the Jey Uso cut, bro.
Just don't
everybody at my wrestling school would be like, yo, you need to bring that cut back. I'm like, I guess. Like, I really just wanted to grow my hair out, but I'm like, all right, you know what? I might give it a shot again. I don't know.
Just don't get that one cut he had.
What one cut? We not even going to talk about that. Let's go to your top 5. All right, do your top 5. Go ahead.
All right, my top 5. Number 5, said his name earlier. Said I'm envious of the man. That boy, Dominic Mysterio, bruh. This man, even though he hurt right now, I forgot to add him in. Well, who all injured?
Oh yeah. The man,
like, he never ceases to amaze me with his out of the ring activities, and like, it's funny though too, cause like, if I didn't know better, you know, I would have said like, I would have thought Dom was making his own faction, because you know he be messing with Santos, he be messing with Carlito, Liv, so you know I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he branch off and make his own.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't be surprised there.
And then number four, you know, I'm going to go down to NXT, you know, Mr. Whoop That Trick, you know, Trick Williams, man. I love everything he doing right now. I don't know if you saw it, but, like, he basically was on Supernova Sessions with Metaphor, Noam Dar, Jakara Jackson, Mensa, and Lash Legend. And, like, him and Lash dating in real life, but like they low key like flirting on screen, like as they trying to like hide it basically. And that's like,
wait, so they're a real life couple playing a couple on TV?
Like, well, they get into that, like, basically for the past couple of like months, like every time they have an interaction, it's like a connection between them.
Yeah,
but like because she with Noam Dar, who like won the NXT championship. It's kind of like she don't know where she, like, she want to be with Trick, but she can't right now.
She in that little stable with them. I mean, look, that right there in itself, that's like a dream job right there. You're literally in a storyline with someone that you involved with in real life. Hey, you can't ask for more.
Definitely. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how that story progresses. You know, I love NXT, man. They, you know, sometimes, like, back in, when they first came out with 2.0, it was kind of in, but, you know, it's definitely getting better. I'm still kind of salty, you know. I'll say that story for another pod, but,
yeah,
you know, it's all good. But my number three, got to give it to the new women's tag team champions, Bianca and Jade. They've been entertaining. The matches have been good. They just look great as a tag team, you know, and, like, believable. So, I definitely, and I'm invested. Like, I know nothing has happened yet, but I just feel like something is coming. Like,
yeah, I feel
a storm is coming. So, definitely. Number two, I'm actually, you know, this might be shocking. I'm going to put Jey Uso. Nah. Oh, man.
Actually,
I'm put Jey Uso at number two. You know,
hey,
I gotta roll with the Yeet God. But my number one, bro, it's no debate. I think he the best wrestler in the business right now. You can quote me, I said it. The Ring General Gunther. He's my pick to win King of the Ring.
I'm not mad about that, because I mean Gunther been putting in that work, so hey, legit earned that.
I'm talking about this man, one of the greatest Intercontinental champions of all time, probably the greatest Intercontinental champion of all time.
That's what I'm saying.
Perhaps future King of the Ring. Every night he go out there, he don't never have a bad match, ever.
Yeah.
Anybody show me a bad Gunther match, let me know.
Yeah, I've yet to find it.
Yeah. But as good as Gunther is in the ring, it's also been crazy outside of the ring out here. Now, I'm pretty sure you know, as everybody else knows, there's a little beef going on in hip-hop right now. Two goats going at it. You would think this is WWE the way they going at it. You got Drake versus Kendrick, man. You know, who you think winning right now?
Honestly, You already know what I'm about to say. I gotta go Kendrick, bruh. I gotta go Kendrick all the way. Because, I mean, what person drops what? What'd he drop, like, 3 diss tracks? Like, back to back to back?
Yeah.
And then he dropped, like, 2 in the same day?
Yeah.
Who does that? Like,
he definitely got time, bro.
Yeah, like, that man said, you know what? Since y'all want to bother me, I'm coming out. I don't care. Everybody getting the smoke.
It's crazy, bro. I'm definitely going out sad, bro, because I like Kendrick, but he not, like, up there for me as far as, like, my favorites. But 2 of my favorites, yep, bro, just so happen to be Drake and J. Cole, bro. They going out the saddest right now. You know, at least Drake responding. Drake stuff not bad, but, like, Kendrick definitely winning right now. Like, I'm not going to lie. As a Drake fan, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. He
definitely winning right now.
I guess. But, I mean, look, back to what you were saying about Cole. I mean, honestly, you could say it was a punk move, but, hey, maybe it was a smart business move that we don't know about him pulling out like that. Because now, look, he chilling in Bahamas, just kicking back while everybody else dissing each other. He just chilling. Because a lot of people in a couple months from now, they're gonna forget about that. They're going to forget, like, oh, okay, J. Cole, he pretty much opted out of the beef. Think about, all right, so what? We ain't worried about that no more.
Yeah, I mean, true. It's not even like, I don't judge him in no way, because like I think about it from his point of view. Like, to be honest, Kendrick wasn't really dissing him per se. Like, J. Cole was just in the crossfire because they made the song together. They was on tour together. Kendrick, his dog, so I understand why he did it. It was just kind of like how he did it. Like, he dropped the diss track, then apologized. And then, like, I just felt like, for me, as a J. Cole fan, always having to, like, somewhat defend him in a way. This is like his chance to, like, go at, you know, somebody who looked at as, like, you know, the best out right now. And he didn't do it, which is fine.
It was hard to defend him. It was hard.
Nah, definitely. I mean, which is fine, you know. I'm pretty sure, like, when he dropped that offseason, it's going to be the best thing out. But speaking on that, you know, Drake versus Kendrick beef, in the Kendrick diss track, Not Like Us, he referenced giving a Sweet Chin Music, which prompted Shawn Michaels to comment that if him and Drake wanted to settle it, they could settle it in the ring at NXT, you know, courtesy of Shawn Michaels. If that was to happen, who you taking in that fight?
Oh, that is tough, yo. That's tough. So I'm going to have to say Kendrick, bro. I got 49% Drake, 51% Kendrick. It's like that. It's literally neck and neck. That's all I'm going to say. It's that close.
I do have
Kendrick Lamar going over in that match. He's going over, bro.
I got a question, though.
What's up?
Now, they call him Kung Fu Kenny, right? What you think his finishing move would be?
Probably a Bruce Lee kick.
I was thinking, like, you know, like how RVD used to come off the top rope with the little kick.
Oh yeah, on the chair.
Uh huh.
Oh yeah.
As far as like me, yeah, I'm probably taking Kendrick. I don't know. Sorry, Drake, you're my dog, but I'm rolling with K-Dot on this one.
Yeah.
Did you happen to see the video of Ric Flair in the pizza restaurant saying, basically getting mad at the dude behind the counter saying that he won't be putting the place over and it won't be good for him on social media the next day? And this is reportedly all because they asked Ric Flair to leave the restaurant because he was disorderly and drunk. Did you see that video?
Yeah, I seen the video. Honestly, man, I honestly don't know what to say about that. Like, I mean, Ric Flair at the end of the day is just going, he going to be Ric Flair. He still has that same mentality he's had when he was younger. I mean, hey, that's just how he is.
My dog Ric Flair, at this point, bro, just like conquering all the side quests, like post wrestling right now. My boy was on he was on Club Shay Shay podcast. You know, of course, they had the Ric Flair drips on. This man arguing with, pizza restaurant employees.
He was on Complex with Joe LaPuma with Sneaker Shopping.
That's what I'm saying.
He was on there too. Shoot, he even had a tag team match with Andrade. And apparently he said he had a heart attack during that match.
Yeah, he had a fake one and a real one.
That's crazy. That's scary.
Nah, it is. I mean, I was one of the people that was like, why are they even doing this match? Like, I thought I was retired, like, a long time ago. But I respect it. I respect the grind. As long as he ain't get seriously hurt, you know. Who knows? Yeah. You know.
He needs to just stay away from the ring right now. Do all the side quests, bro. All the side quests.
leave it to Charlotte right now. Leave it to Charlotte, yeah. Bro. I mean, Ric Flair definitely a GTA character, bro.
She on the injured list too.
Oh yeah, she is.
Charlotte.
I wonder how that's gonna be when she come back. And she probably gonna be on SmackDown since Andrade over there.
But, yeah, and they like to kind of keep the real life couples on the same brand, from what you was telling me off the pod.
Yeah, definitely that. Now that I think about it, her and Jay would be a good little program. I'm not going to lie.
They teased it. They teased it a while ago. Like when she was showing up.
Mm-hmm.
They teased it. So, yeah, I could say that's definitely going to happen. That's a guarantee. That's going to happen, bro. As long as Charlotte stays healthy, it's going to happen.
So I wanted to get into a bit of the news of today. This was reported by Russell Votes, basically saying that as far as the bloodline, WWE is hesitant on implementing Jacob Fatu in the story, which is obviously cousins with Solo, due to the fact that there's a belief that he might outshine Solo Sikoa. What is your thoughts on that?
See, this kind of plays a role in the fact that because everybody already knows who Jacob Fatu is, and they've seen the work he's put in outside of WWE, they can go both ways with it. If they kind of fear about him outshining Solo Sikoa, you can easily turn him babyface and have him run with Jimmy and Jay down the line. You know what I mean? Or you could honestly put a title on Solo, right? And at that point, it's kind of gonna be harder to outshine him once you put a title on him, because people will take him more serious with a title on him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you could probably have Jacob be the reason that Solo wins that title, which, for example, the U.S. title. Or, wait, the U.S. title was the title that's on SmackDown or Raw? Or is it the IC title that's on SmackDown?
SmackDown with Logan Paul.
Oh, okay. So, you could have him win the U.S. title and have, you could probably have Jacob be the reason why he wins the title. At that point, he's not going to get outshined. At least I think. Or you could just have him be the babyface and side with Jimmy and Jay in the future.
I kind of agree with that. I was thinking if I'm them and I feel like he's going to get over more, I would just bring him in as a face, let him help out Jay Because one thing I've been noticing in Jay matches, which this could work in a way, like every time Jay have a championship match, somebody always interfere. Whether that be his own brother or the Judgment Day or Solo, you know, somebody always interfere. So you bring him in, you know, to watch Jay back, you know, build him up. And then when it's time to do that, like, you know, Solo and his faction, and then you got Jay. Then you can easily add in Roman with, you know, Jay, Jacob, and Jimmy versus The Rock, Solo, Tama, and Tonga. So, you know, I feel like you could work it out that way. But I don't, I thought it was going to be him debuting at Backlash, to be honest.
I think a lot of people did. That's why they didn't pull the trigger, because you got to think about it like this. They're in France, bro. The moment, if they would have seen Jacob Fatu come out there, they would have gotten a massive pop. Like, Jacob would have gotten a massive pop. I'm talking like possibly a Rock type of pop. A Rock and Roman kind of pop. You know what I mean? Yeah. It would have been a huge pop. But you bring in somebody like Tongaloa. No one really... people know him, but, you know, it's not gonna... It doesn't have the same effect. You know, like, right. Because... Yeah, people know him, but... Like, his hype isn't as high as Jacob's.
Yeah, you basically trying to say you gotta be really tuned in.
Right.
Yeah. It's so crazy to me, because I feel like this, like, a storyline that can go on for, like, ever. With as many people.
Every time you think it's over, it just comes back.
You still got so many people outside of WWE.
Yeah. And I hear people saying that they're trying to bring in, that they will want to bring in, like, or, well, I don't know if they want to, but it's like people saying online that possibly Zilla can get in the mix. But my opinion, I would like Zilla to grow outside of, like, the WWE first before they, you know, or at least have him be in NXT and do his own thing in NXT before making that jump.
Yeah. He could go the solo route for sure.
Yeah. Or you could just have him go in NXT and completely have his own path. But I'm pretty sure with the way the Bloodline story is, like, if you're in that Fatu family, it's you're gonna get involved in that storyline one way or another. It's no way around it.
Definitely. Like, that'd be crazy, like, say, like, Rock and Roman happen next year, and they just bring in, like, everybody from, like, Rikishi to the Wild Samoans to, like, you know, just everybody, and have them just somehow get involved. That'd be crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, as tonight is coming to an end, you know, before we get up on out of here, you have anything you want to say, you know, where the people, you know, can catch you at, you want to shout out the gram or anything like that?
So, yeah, y'all can follow me on IG at SirTony_. And you can catch, if you want to see this face, you can catch me at Wildcat Sports. And we have a show coming up on June 1st at Crescent City Christian School. So you could probably get, well, not probably. You can get your tickets at wildcat.eventbrite.com. Yeah.
All right.
And that is courtesy of Mr. All-in-One from the 631, Alexander.
All right. And on that note, we up out of here.
All right, man.